It's never just about faith. It's how you actually live. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
And to talk us through Wellness Wednesday for today, Slindiwe Ngwenya talking to us about something, like I said, I did not know it was a traumatic experience. But then again, I understand, because I'm not a firstborn, I'm the middle child. I always thought being a middle child is a trauma in and by itself, being ignored and neglected and all of that. But guess what? We're told there's a trauma of being the firstborn. Really? Well, joining us now is Slindiwe Ngwenya. Good evening to you. Afternoon, rather. Thank you very much for joining us. Slindiwe.
Hi.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. Thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you very much, Slindiwe. So, what exactly are we talking about here? What is the weight of being the firstborn child? I didn't know they even existed. What is this?
Okay, so I'm also going to put out a disclaimer. I'm not a firstborn child too.
Okay.
I'm actually a lastborn.
Okay.
And I know middle children have issues as well. We'll talk about that on another day.
Okay. Okay.
But from the research that I've done, firstborns usually carry the weight of being the deputy parent, as the responsibility is offered, or rather it's shoved upon them without them asking for it. So by the virtue of them being firstborn, they are now expected to be responsible over their younger siblings, and they don't get to experience their childhood. Now they are meant to be sort of a mini adult over these siblings that they even didn't ask for, they didn't plan for. And in cases of illness or death, they assume the parent or guardian role. So if they were in school, sometimes they now have to drop out and have to look for a job so that they take care of their little ones. And they also have this exemplary or role model role that they have to take into consideration. They now have to live a life that's exemplary to the younger siblings, and sometimes they are forced into being a certain person that they might not be, because now they're expected to be a role model. They need to do things perfectly, they need to do things right so that the younger siblings can have someone to look up to. And then if they are male, they usually are given this burden of carrying on the family legacy, or to propagate the next generation. Maybe you don't want to have a child yet, but then because you're firstborn and probably you're now married, the Magogos are now asking, when are you having your first child? When are you having your first born son? We need to have this legacy going on. So that pressure is the weight that they have as firstborn children.
So is it valid, really, Slindiwe, to call it this, to call this experience a trauma?
So most cases, it does come with this pressure that affects them later on in life, because now they let go of who they are. So sometimes their identity may be stolen. Like I mentioned earlier, when their kids, maybe the second child is born after 2 or 3 years, they are still children, but now they're expected to take up this role of being an elder brother. They now have to be looking after the little one wherever they're going. What is he or she doing? Now they are forced to be a mini parent when the parent is not around. And they, when later they grow up, you see that they've missed some stages. They didn't experience this childhood, this teenagehood, because they are now trying to be parents instead of the actual parents. Maybe they're no longer there, or they are at work in this era where both parents are going to work, and probably you are left with the younger ones. Now you have to make sure that they've eaten, they are dressed, they have washed themselves before bed, and sometimes the parents come in later. So it does affect them, and if not addressed, it might be passed on to the next generation, as we'll discuss later on. But for now, yes, in some experiences, I have some friends who are firstborn, but they don't have this whole pressure going on for them. But in most cases, firstborns have this pressure on them, and it's traumatic.
Is this experience only for an African child?
Not quite. It's something that's cutting across races, though in an African setup, it's more prevalent because of issues like poverty and not having enough, or maybe having like some incidents like death or illness coming in earlier in that child's life. It then becomes more prevalent and intense. But you see, even in what do you call this, in Indian societies, the firstborn also has some sort of pressure, especially if it comes to marriage and other things like that. But in the African setup, it's more prevalent and it's quite bad. You have heard about something called leg tax. It's something that's going on and it's affecting a lot of people, and it seems like it's been normalized. So now you can't exactly run away from it, but you have to live with it.
I hear you. Could this be generational?
I'd say for now, yes. Though I feel like later on, as the generations are going on, and we are being exposed to certain practices that are not of our own, maybe it will fade away. But as I have mentioned, that it's still something that's in our societies. It's been there probably years back before our parents and our grandparents. It's been there and it's still there. Though with education and empowerment and different exposure, it's fading in certain societies. I'll give an example. In my own household, I don't think the firstborn is experiencing much of the weight because probably the parents tried to make the environment fair for everyone. But you could find that in the same street that we live in, there's probably another firstborn who's suffering from this weight that was put on him or her. But with time, as we are getting educated and being woke, we will have this pressure taken away bit by bit, but it's still there.
I hear you. So how do we heal from this firstborn trauma, the scar? How do we heal?
So as middle and lastborn children, we might not have the space of expressing how we are feeling for now, but I feel like firstborn children should be able to talk it out. You see, such a program as this one, we address issues that are actually affecting people. So when you're talking it out, you also let out the feelings, even when it's coming from a point of depression or anxiety, as we spoke about last week. When you talk about those things, you feel a weight lighter after talking. And then if it's affecting you so bad that maybe you can't function anymore, maybe you're still expected to send stuff home and yet you are not financially capable, probably you could find comfort in going for therapy, seeking therapy. There's some people offer it for free. There's some people who charge not too high fees. You can go there and probably air out your issues with time. Hopefully, you can find an outlet and have your issues solved. And then we can also try to unlearn toxic behavior so that it's not passed on to the next generation.
That's an important one. Final question, I'll let you go. Yeah, go ahead.
And then maybe a last point is the ability to say no in situations where you can actually say no. Probably, like I mentioned, you might be having a financial constraint at a certain point. And probably you've been sending a consistent amount of money, and now there's this depot that's taking out some money somehow. You can voice out your concern and say, I'm sorry, but this month I won't be able to send you this amount because I'm going through a tough patch.
Yeah.
But I'm going to fix it next month or another month. So this other friend of mine was actually saying that it is not the duty of children to take care of parents as long as they can work, because they didn't ask to be made. I don't know if that can help in an African setup, but then it's something to consider. We need to have discussions with our parents, guardians, if possible, and strike a balance. It's good to honor and provide for parents. Some are sick, some are old, some can't fend for themselves. So it's a good practice. But it should not leave me now in a position where I can't function, I can't go to work, I can't socialize with my friends, because now I'm so shrinked by the pressures that are coming to me. So we should be able to speak out.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And I don't think it applies in the African context anyway. I agree with you. Final question, like I said, how can parents avoid dumping that trauma onto their firstborn children?
Okay, I think some of the points I've already mentioned. Parents should try to communicate with their children about issues to relate with support financially or any other support that they need, so that they understand where their children are coming from. I'll give an example. Right now, I might not be getting as much money as I used to get last year. And as I'm sending money back home, they should be able to understand that this time it might be a little less because I'm not getting as much. And then they should also try to give their children fair treatment, so that pressure is not on one child.
Mm-hmm.
All children should understand that this is our parents, not the firstborn only should take care of the parents or vice versa. And then also investing in projects that can keep on bringing money even when they are old.
Yeah.
When we plan our children, let's have a mindset that we can plan also on our financial stabilities, so that we have projects that can keep generating money even when the kids are outside of our home. We can't be depending on the children solely. And then before we even have the kids, if possible, let's plan the children and have children that we are able to support.
Okay. All right.
If it's possible.
If it's possible. Got it.
It's possible.
Yeah, yes. I understand. Yes. I understand.
Because you find someone having nine children, and yet they don't even have an income at all. Some governments are generous enough to have like a fund where you can be given a money every month to take care of your kids. But then it's not enough. Imagine now, probably you're given, let's say, $100 to take care of 9 kids. It will never be enough. So if possible, planning for our kids before we have them would be ideal.
Indeed, indeed.
So that we don't have situations where we have pressure on them, or end up neglecting even the middle child and the last born child, or the ninth child, or the other children that are in between.
Of course, of course. All right, we'll leave it right there, Sister Silindi Wengwanya. Really appreciate your insights and your perspective. Thank you ever so much for your ministry, and may God continue to bless you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID